Christians, and specifically our church, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, that we ought to be workmen, if you will, or skillful artificers, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we continue to look through these things, we are now moving from instruction, knowledge, direction, encouragement, to a point of a charge, to something that we're put to the test with, if you will, that we are accountable, responsible for, that we ought to all be skillful workmen with the Word of God. And you know what? That's a day-by-day thing. It's something we grow in. It's something we develop. It's something we mature in. And we all can do that together here in this local church. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let us, if you will, read through the Scriptures here. And we're just going to read through the first five verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4 all together. These first five verses will begin together in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Here we are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you know, to preach the word and to give people the plain, pure, rightly divided word of God. Folks, we ought to want to do that everywhere we go. I had a chance, of course, we get to go out soul winning and we enjoy that time. But you know, I meet people and especially people of different faiths, if you will. And I was talking to a man a couple weeks ago. I think, Aiden, you were with me, weren't you? Maybe? I don't know. It could have been Nathan. It could have been, I don't know who it was, but I think it was Aiden. We were talking to this guy. He was a Muslim guy. And I told him about the Bible. I told him about salvation. And he said to me, we believe the same thing. And I'm like, no, you don't. But that's what he said, you know? Was that you? It was? Yeah, okay. And, you know, and we were walking away. I was telling Aiden, I was like, no, we don't believe the same thing. And you know, it is amazing that as Christians, we need to stand up and tell them this is what God says. And this is what the Bible says. And I explained to the gentleman that we believe and teach the Bible. And he goes, well, we believe the Bible too. I'm like, no, you don't. You know, because they don't. They may in general terms say that they do. And by the way, they do regard Jesus, if you will, but they don't regard him correctly. They do believe in a heaven, but it's not the heaven that the Bible teaches and preaches about. Folks, they're not the same. By the way, I think you've heard me say many times before, things that are different cannot be the same. You can't do that, all right? That's why down here in the South, I do struggle. I love Southerners, if you will. I guess I am one now. I've been here over 20 years. But can I tell you something? Not all kinds of the fizzy, sugary stuff that's found in a can or bottle, okay? Not all of it is Coke. I'm sorry, okay? We're gonna disagree on this till the day I die, okay? It's not all Coke. Coke is not a general term. Coke is a specific term, okay? And it's not, what kind of Coke do you want? I would like a Pepsi, please. That doesn't work, okay? There are two major giant corporations that would have something to say about that. i.e. Pepsi Cola Company and Coca Cola Company would have a problem with that. Don't walk into a Pepsi Cola Company office and say, I'd like a Coke, please. Okay? They'll throw you out. All right? Don't do that, okay? And by the way, I am a little bit biased when it comes to vehicles. All right? Not all vehicles are Fords. Not all... Yeah, thank God. Who said that? That's not the time to amen, okay? Not the time. Not all vehicles are Chevrolets, okay? Just to combat that. Not all vehicles are Toyota. We call them vehicles, cars, trucks, right? Those are general terms. By the way, if you want it, soda water, soda, pop, that's what us Northerners call it. We call it pop, okay? Soda pop, those are general terms. I'm okay with you calling a Dr. Pepper, a Sprite, a Pepsi. You know, those are general terms. But Pepsi is not Coke, and Coke is not... The things that are different cannot be the same. That's all I'm trying to say. Fords aren't Chevys. Chevys aren't Fords. You know, Dodges, they don't even count. And so, you know, all of that, we don't, right, Brother Dart? Yeah. That's okay. Those are all preferential things. Now, we're talking about preach the word, amen? All right, now, as we look at things in the scriptures, we've got to take a stand. That's why it goes from a commendation, if you will, or an encouragement, a teaching, a command of sorts, to say, study to show thyself approved, and to avoid things, and to stay away from things, and to learn things, and to be aware of things, to go forth and to be a witness, and to endure persecution. Those are all training points, teaching points, etc. But then he takes it a step up and says, I charge thee, preach the word. And Christians, look, it is great to live like a Christian. I think every Christian should live like a Christian. And listen, your testimony speaks loudly. But here, beyond your testimony, you've got to open your mouth and say something. We've got to take a stand. We've got to be more vocal. We've got to say, this is what God says, and this is the stand I'm taking. I'm taking a stand. By the way, with that stand comes some exposure. And the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to take some flack for saying something. Not everybody's just going to take what you're saying lying down, if you will. Okay, they're going to push back. They're going to make some comments back. And guess what? A skillful artificer knows what to do. For instance, i.e., if you will, that's the, you know, for instance, a little thing, you know, i.e., dot, dot, dot. And as we look at things in life, right? When you are a technician, let's say, I was a technician in the Navy, I told my Sunday school class, those of you that do not know, I want you to know today, a mystery of the world, that in technology, solid state electronics, okay, what makes solid state electronics work is magic blue smoke, okay? Because once you let the magic blue smoke out of solid state electronics, it never works again, okay? So that's what makes solid state electronics work. It's the little guys in Silicon Valley. They're putting them together, and they inject the magic blue smoke into every component, you know. And once you let it out, it never works again. Anyways, I learned in the Navy some things about... what was I talking about? I just lost my thought. What subject was I on? What? No, not technology. Oh, being a skillful artificer. Okay. Problem solver. So when I was in the Navy... My job was to fix electronics. Okay, so I could solder components and test components and use equipment. And, you know, we would use an oscilloscope and we would test the waves. And all you electronics people, you know what I'm talking about, right? All this stuff, you know, you look for a short or an open or all the, you know, hardware stuff, okay? And so, but as I would go through that gear, we would run a certain test. And we would run a certain thing to see if this was functioning, that was functioning, whatever. We would consider the complaints of the people that sent the gear in. By the way, just realize this. Pilots, they really think they're big stuff, but they really don't know very much at all. It's the technicians that take care of everything, Brother Parks. You know that. okay? And us enlisted men, we're the ones that really make things work. Because I had a pilot send in a piece of gear one time, and it says UHF receiver will not work in the OFF position. It really said that on the piece of paper, seriously. And so just consider where all the training comes from. But anyways, it's our job to problem solve these things because I'm the skilled workman. Okay? Folks, listen to me. When we're skilled workmen, why does God tell us to study? So that when we do preach the word, when we do reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and what? Doctrine. Then we know what to say next. You know, when I was on staff at Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, one of my responsibilities was to lead the Harvesters soul-winning program. Now, the Harvesters soul-winning program was a soul-winning program designed to teach and to train elementary-age kids how to go out and be a witness in their community for Jesus Christ. Okay? So we're taking first through sixth graders, and we're filling them with scripture. We're teaching them what to say it, how to talk to people, how to behave themselves. We even teach them so far as how to go walk down a street, you know, and how to walk up to someone's home and how to knock on the door. By the way, if you go to somebody's house and do this, okay, what are the chances they're going to answer the door? Yes, seriously. They may be afraid, okay? I like happy knocks. You know? It's a happy knock. It's got a little happiness to it, you know? But you realize once you actually get somebody to answer the door, does it matter what you say next? Yeah, as to how long of a conversation you're going to have, right? If you just knock on the door and you walk up and somebody opens the door and just says, "Hey, did you know you're going to hell?" Okay, how quick will that conversation be? As fast as they can slam the door in your face, right? I mean, now, chances are with statistics and everything, is there a great possibility that that person you're talking to is probably going to go to hell? Yeah, because majority of people out there are lost, folks. But that's not something you want to say right off the bat. And you want to get around to that in a little bit, okay? So, but then all I'm just trying to say is there's training involved. Now we have a great charge set before us. Are we supposed to reprove? Absolutely. Are we supposed to rebuke? Yes. But it doesn't stop there. That's not the whole of the matter. The last part of this is, as Paul says to Timothy, he says, yes, Timothy, preach the word. You're a skillful artificer. You're rightly dividing the word of truth. You're studying the word of God so that you can show yourself approved unto God, that you can wield the word of God skillfully and correctly so that the people can hear. He says you need to do it in season. You need to do it out of season. You need to reprove. You need to rebuke. By the way, you need to admonish, convince, and convict. You need to censor and forbid. But then you need to beseech, invoke, and invite them to change. You see, folks, once we present the truth of the Word of God to people, yes, we're trying to change their mind about it. We're trying to give them the information from God's point of view, from God's word, from what God says, and make that the absolute truth, which it is, and then invite them. Invoke them. Cause them, beseech them, beg them, plead with them to accept. You see, as we go out and we knock on doors and talk to people and as we give out gospel tracts, we want people to have this information. But I need to know how to use this information to plead with them
about their never dying soul. That it has an eternal landing place, either in heaven or in hell. And we've got to plead with them to trust Christ as their Savior. It is our job to invite them to be saved. Furthermore, it's our job to invite the Christian to be right with God. Hey, can I tell you something? Not every place that says church is the right kind of church. It's just a truth, okay? I'm not going to go off on some tirade and list of which churches are not the right churches. But can I just tell you something? I know that this one is the right kind of church. And here's the reason why. Because it's founded upon sound doctrine. Did you know that sound doctrine is something that's tangible? You say, how do you know? How do you Baptists know that yours is sound doctrine and ours is not? Because it lines up with this. I don't have to make exceptions for rules. I don't have to be like the English language. I can be like mathematics. I can be absolutely sure about it. That's why I love asking people who are not sure about things, are you absolutely sure? We can't know the secrets of the universe. Are you absolutely sure about that? I love doing that. It's circular reasoning. It's so much fun to get them twisted up because it's nonsense. I can absolutely know about it because it's not my words. It's not the Baptist words. It's God's word. And I can rightly divide it because it's something tangible that's there to divide. And I need to be a workman that's working on doing that and putting my effort into helping people understand the Word of God. Because listen, this is not just about standing on a pedestal saying, I'm right and you're wrong, or we're holy and you're not, or I'm saved and you're lost. It's not about that. I'm right, you're wrong. It's not about our pride and our position and where we stand. It's about helping them to come to know the truth. It's about helping sinners come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's about helping backslidden Christians come into right fellowship with God. It's about helping Christians who are babes in Christ become mature, fruit-producing servants of the Most High God. You see, it's about growing and maturing and following after God. It's about those who are fringe church members, fringe believers, coming in to be core believers and if you will, the working force of the church. It's about growth. It's about maturity. It's about progressing forward, if you will, in the Christian life. And it's our charge to, in season and out of season, reprove, that means admonish, convince or convict. Rebuke, that means to censor or to forbid, and to beseech, invoke, or invite, or plead with, which is what exhortation means. Turn back just a few books of the Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And by the way, we're supposed to do this with all long suffering and doctrine. See, there's a basis for our information. And there's also a position. It doesn't mean be nasty. It doesn't mean be mean. It doesn't mean be condescending. He says do it with all long suffering, Timothy. Because guess what? God loves people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, right? Is whosoever anybody? It is. Believeth in him, right? He wants people to believe. He wants people to be in fellowship. By the way, in 1 John 1:9 it says, for if we do what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to get right. He wants us to climb out of the pit. He wants us to come back to the Father.
He is waiting there with a robe and with a ring, and he's wanting to accept us back. He's not wanting us to just chuck us off into hell. He's not wanting to just throw us away. God's a God of restoration. With all long suffering and doctrine. Are you there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Look at verse 1. Paul says this, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren. By the way, there's that word beseech, right? He says, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. So, back in the charge, right? Paul says to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So Jesus Christ is involved in this. By the way, he's involved because he's the object of our study, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded. Yeah, who commanded them? Jesus did. He's the one that taught them. By the way, when the Holy Spirit came to the world, what was he speaking of? Jesus Christ. Not of his own things, but of the things that Jesus said and did. Anyways, we have that record in the Word of God. So Paul says this, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Folks, listen, we need to realize that we have a purpose. As workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, to stand up and to reprove, rebuke, but in the end, exhort. We're to plead with them. We're to beseech them. We're to invoke them. We're to invite them. Come to the Father. Come to God. Come to the right way. Come to the knowledge of the Word of God. Come to the understanding, the philosophy, the ideology of what God has to say. By the way, Paul says this, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. He said, look, there's a way. Teenagers, right? There's one way. It's the right way. It's God's way. There's a way to walk and there's a way not to walk. And we want you to walk in the right way. We want you to follow the right way of thinking. Can I tell you something? All the thinking that you get from this world is trash. It's the wrong way. And you need to discard it. The stuff on TV, the stuff out in society, it is garbage. And I am just shocked and appalled at all of the so-called believers that swallowed hook, line, and sinker all this woke trash the last couple of years. There are only two genders. Hello. And I'm just shocked.
Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. And we accept all genders.
Well, you know what? I'm a pastor too. I accept all genders too. Gender one and gender two. Those are the ones I accept. Because those are the ones God says there are. I'm just saying. Listen, folks. It's crazy. But there's a way that you ought to walk. And then Paul says, not only is there a way to walk, but we want you to go further and further down that path as you grow. Folks, we're inviting people. Come on. Come on with us. Paul, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus Christ is leading the way. He's the one. Listen, he says, we don't exhort you by the pastors that have come before us. And we don't exhort you by the traditions of men. No, we exhort you, we plead with you, we invite you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our invitation, folks. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Folks, listen to me. Jesus wants us to follow him. He wants us to have the bread of life. He wants us to have that living water. He wants us to have salvation. He wants us to have forgiveness. He wants us to have fellowship. We need to encourage people. We need to beseech people. We need to invite people. We need to invoke people to come. I like the parable where Jesus said the guy was having the feast, right? And he said, go invite this person. And they said, no, I can't because I gotta do this. And the other guy, go invite this person. No, I can't because I gotta do this. And no, I can't because I gotta do this. You know that parable? And then what he says, he goes, go out to the highways and the hedges and do what? Compel them. Invoke them. Invite them. Beseech them. Make them come. God is willing that none should perish. Right? And he wants us with all long suffering and doctrine to preach the word. You understand that we ought to reprove them, rebuke them, and then exhort them to come to Jesus to be saved. If it's a Christian who's already trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we should also reprove, rebuke, and exhort them to get back into fellowship. And you know what? Furthermore, for those that may be right with God, they may be on some kind of a plateau or a mountaintop where they're doing right, they're an example, we also ought to reprove, rebuke, and exhort them to continue on. It doesn't matter what level you're at. We all need these three elements, and it needs to be done with long-suffering and doctrine. As we understand what the Word of God has for us, we need to realize that we are to be a studied, skillful workman of our great God. That we have a job to do, and it's our responsibility. And guess what? We're going to be accountable for it. Remember what Jesus taught in one of his parables as a master went on a far journey, and he left to his servants 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent. And he said, occupy till I come. Right? Well, the one that had 5 did that. He earned other 5. And guess what? He received, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the one that had been given 2, he occupied till the master came. And when he came back, he brought other 2. And he also received the same commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the one that was given 1, if he would have come to the master and brought back 1 other, he would too have received, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he did not. And he received a thou wicked and slothful servant. Folks, we don't want to be slothful. We don't want to be labeled as lazy, as unconcerned, as one who, you know what, I'm just going to worry about me, myself, and I'm going to take care of myself. And no, folks. We're supposed to preach the word. You see, God didn't just save you to sit. He saved you to serve. And a good servant will go out and do what the master wants done. And the master wants to see people saved. The master wants to see people that are backslidden to come back into fellowship. The master wants to see young Christians become mature Christians. The master wants to see those that produce little fruit to go forth and produce much fruit. Those that are walking in the way, not just walking, but abounding in the way, that's what he wants to see. And it's up to us to say something about it. You see, this particular passage of scripture that we're talking about here in 2 Timothy is not just a lifestyle thing. It's an open up your mouth and say something kind of thing. And you say, you know what? But I'm not really outspoken like that. Then learn to be. Listen, I am so glad that all of you are not like me. In many ways. Okay? Because that would be a strange congregation. I don't know if I could deal with you all. I'm glad that you're you and I'm me. Okay? But listen, we all can learn to open our mouths. We all can learn to be a little more bold. Even if you're not very bold. Some of us that are uber bold can be a little less bold, probably, okay? I have to tone it down a little bit. You could probably understand that, right? Okay? Some of you need to tone it up a little bit. Well, he's not even here to pick on.
poor guy. I'll pick on him anyways. Oliver. How many of you know my Oliver? Okay. Yeah. All right. Oliver's a soft-spoken young man. He really is. And he drives me nuts. Okay. Coach, you know this. I wish I could send him to boot camp, okay? Because the drill sergeants there in boot camp wouldn't put up with that, okay? When they want you to say something, they want you to sound off. They want you to be heard. And boy, you better be heard. If you're not heard, they're gonna get you. Right, Brother Parks? Brother Holling said, you know this. Listen, I'll ask Oliver a question. He's like, what'd you say? Speak up! I know I'm not deaf! Did you pick up the drill?
Yes, sir.
No, okay. Look at me. Yes, sir! Okay? Sound off, all right? Now, listen, I gotta teach him that, all right? Because I get it. They're all different kinds of personalities. They're all different kinds of people. But, folks, we're being charged before God to sound off, to speak up. Now, we don't have to be mean. We don't have to be rude. We can do it right, the right kind of way, but we've got to open our mouths. We've got to, yes, folks, I mean, I'm for you sitting there in your study and learning the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God and searching the Scriptures daily and taking in. But don't be a Dead Sea. Give out. Open up the channel and speak the things of God that you've studied. Hey, that's wrong. No, you can't do that. Do it this way. Come this way. Don't just stand from the housetops and say this is wrong and that's bad, but then say this is right, come do this. That's the exhortation. It's a completion of the preaching process. We need to admonish and convince and give out the knowledge. We need to actually censor and say, no, 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 we can't do that. And then say, yes, 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 come do this. You know, in the habit world, how many of you have habits? Yes, good. Okay, I don't mean the little hats that the nuns wear. But the things that we do, right? Now, how many of you'll admit with me today, I have good habits, Pastor. I have good habits. Come on. You got good habits? Good, good. Okay, good, good. All right. How many of you say, Pastor, I have bad habits? Yes, I have bad habits. Okay, good. All right, now, listen. We have good habits and we have bad habits. In the habit world, there's a process to habits. You know there's a process to habits? There's a process. They've done studies on this. Okay? And they say approximately it takes 30 days to lock in a habit. Approximately. You know, more or less. So if you can get through doing something, you know, that's why we're coming around to New Year's, right? New Year's resolutions mostly fail, right? So don't wait till New Year's. Start now. Okay? Whatever you know you need to change, just start changing it today. And then try to do it for 30 days in a row. You know what it'll probably do? It'll probably become a habit. I've gotten in a bad habit. You know what my bad habit is? Eating ice cream at 11 o'clock at night. Now, it's a very tasty habit. But I'm sure at 48 years old, it's a bad habit. Right? How many of you think that's a bad habit? Yeah, it's probably a bad habit. How many of you do the same thing? Okay. How many of you would like to do the same thing? 30 days, just get a couple buckets of ice cream and you can make it happen. Okay. No, listen, it's a reality, right? So we want to encourage and invite people to make good habits, not bad habits. And listen, so we can all develop. We can all change. We can all become what we want, what God wants us to be. Listen to this. We're still back in 1 Thessalonians. He says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Folks, listen. We ought to know how, being the workman that needs not to be ashamed. Why? Just so that we can be what we need to be? No. So that we can teach others to be what they need to be.
that we can reprove, we can rebuke, and then we can say, okay, this is wrong. Don't do that. That's forbidden. That's censored. But come do this. Come be this. And the this is the sound doctrine. The this is the things that God has taught us. The this is how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to abound. He goes on to say this. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So folks, listen, when we follow the youthful lust, we've already talked about that. When we follow the lust of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the... I just lost that. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Thank you. And when we follow those things, those are of the world and not of God. And so we're not going to be right with God. And we need to throw away those things and accept the things that God has for us that are right and true. He says this, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So God has called us. So as we stand in holiness and in truth and in sound doctrine, we're reaching out and we're saying, hey, come over here. Hey, that's wrong. Hey, that's not right. But this is. This is true. I'm inviting you. I'm encouraging you. I'm beseeching you. I'm trying to invoke you to come from the darkness into the light. As we preach the word, we're supposed to welcome people to the light. We need to live in the light and draw them to the light. You see, you understand that the light draws things. It pushes away the darkness, but it draws things to itself. You know, Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, he drew men to himself. He drew people to himself. And he wants us to continue that work. As we shine the light of Jesus Christ, we're trying to draw people to the light. Because if we're in the light, as he's in the light, then we have fellowship. And that's a good thing. Oh, where did the time go? Okay, we're going to finish this next time. But I got to read another verse to you real quick. Which one do I want to read? All right, I'll read this one. You know this one. Romans chapter 12. Because we'll finish this up next week. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the individual. You individually study to show yourself approved unto God. You be the living sacrifice. You be holy. You be righteous, so that you can stand up and say, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Then he says this. I'll skip down a few verses there if you're over in Romans 12. He says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Remember, I told you, it's not about pride. It's not about we're here, you're there, we're right, you're wrong. It's not about that. He says this. He says, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Folks, we're supposed to do these things in such a way to invite people to the light. You see, we have a great job to do. And we all need to do our part. And I'm not saying everybody's in here is going to be an actual pastor or preacher, if you will, as far as standing before people. But in some way, shape, or form, we all stand before people. And our job as a Christian is to first of all get the lost to see that they need a Savior. And secondly, for the saved to see that they need fellowship with the Savior. And we need to do it by reproving, by rebuking, but lastly by inviting them, exhortation. Exhorting them, pleading with them, come back to God. Or in the first place, come to God. He wants you to be saved. Christian, you haven't gone too far. Just repent. Turn. Come back. Come to your senses. Come back to the Father. He's waiting for you right there in the hillside. He's looking. He wants you to be brought back into fellowship with all long-suffering and doctrine. Folks, we're not making this stuff up. It is sound doctrine. It's really here. It's something you can hold, something you can see, something you can preach to the lost world.